We continue our learning. We are in Peah Perek Ches Mishnah Vav. Previous Mishnah, we spoke about the different shiurim, the different amounts we're supposed to give for different foods for Maaser Ani. When I distribute Maaser Ani, so let's say, for example, I'm giving grain, I'm giving wheat grain, I'm supposed to give chatzi kav, a half a kav, and we spoke about wine, I'm supposed to give maybe a chatzi lo yain, Rabbi Kiva says a revius of yain. That's previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah comes to teach us the following. Midozo, those measures from the previous Mishnah, Amura Bakoanim, Uvalavim, Uval Yisraelim. Those midos, those measures apply to not only Yisraelim, but even to Kohanim and Levim. What does that mean? So one explanation is as follows. A Kohen and Levi receives Truma and Maaser. So I would have thought maybe a Kohen and Levi receive Truma and Maaser. They don't have to distribute Maaser Ani from their Truma and Maaser. So the answer is they do. If they're Aniim who need. So if a Kohen, he gets his Truma, he has to give, if there are Aniim who need, so he should give from those Trumos and Masos, Maaser Ani to the Aniim, and it should not give less than the measures in the previous Mishnah. Others say, no, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about at all. The Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim are not the distributors. They are actually the Mekablim. They're the one who are accepting the Tzedakah. It's, in other words, if you have Kohanim and Levim who are Aniim, the Mishnah here has come to teach us that they are permitted to collect, they should be collecting, and they should be given from whoever's giving them the Maaser Ani, they should be given the same amount of the same, in the same measure as this previous Mishnah. Meaning, one would have thought, since a Kohen and Levi is receiving already Truma, for the Kohen and Maaser Rishon for the Levi, maybe we'd say, once they're already receiving gifts, maybe if they're poor, and we give them a Maaser Ani, we don't have to give them the mazon of two sudos of the previous Mishnah. Says that our Mishnah, not true. You give the Kohen and Levi who are Aniim the same amount as the previous Mishnah, despite the fact that they are receiving Trumas and Masros, because the Pasuk says, V'achlu v'sharecha v'saveyu. Saveyu means they're full. Mazon shtei sudos applies to even a Kohen and a Levi. Mishnah continues, Hayamatsi, let's say you have a person, he's a farmer, and he has many family members, many relatives who are Aniim as well, and he wants to be Matzil, literally wants to save for his family, that maybe they could have priority. So the Mishnah actually permits that, and says, no tel mechtzav and no se mechtzav. He can actually save up until 50%, a half of the Maaser Ani, and give it to Aniim, assuming his relatives are Aniim, and then no se mechtzav, then he distributes the rest to other Aniim who are not relatives. Hayalo davar muat, which can be understood in different ways. We'll explain it as follows. If after he, this, one opinion that Yushalmi understands the Mishnah like this, if after he's taken 50% for himself, for his family members who are Aniim, he realizes that what's left is very, very little, he's not going to be able to distribute to the other Aniim, Mazon Shtei Sudos. So the Mishnah now says, no sein lifnehem, he just places the Maaser Ani in front of them, and they come and distribute and divide it up themselves. And this could be understood in a general sense, which is, let's say someone's Maaser Ani is just very small, and he's not going to be able to give people Mazon Shtei Sudos, so then he leaves it in front of the Aniim, and they collect it themselves. Perachas Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah needs a little introduction. We, in the days of the Tanoim, in every Jewish community, there was something called a kupa and something called a tamchoi. The kupa is what we call a pushka. It's a box. And they would collect coins. They would collect stucca in there and distribute once a week to Aniim who needed food each week. And then there was a tamchoi. Tamchoi actually was a plate. And there was food on the plate. And actually, that was like a soup kitchen, food that needed to be distributed not once a week, but actually every day to people who are very poor who needed food every day. So we'll touch upon that in this Mishnah as well. But the Mishnah begins with a halacha about an ani who happens to be traveling through another town. Ein pachas in la ani hovrim imakom lamakom mikikar bepunyon me'arba sa'in besela. Sounds like a very complicated statement, but we'll try to simplify it. When an ani comes traveling through our town, we have to be sure that we give him food. How much food do we have to give him? We give him a loaf of bread that's valued as a punyon. Now, obviously, the loaf of bread can go up in price, can depreciate in price. So the Mishnah is coming to teach us like this. Sela is a very large silver coin. Punyon is a very small copper coin. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us like this. If four sa'a, a large measure of grain, costs a sela. So then, the punyon, whatever a loaf of bread is that's valued as a punyon, when 4 sa of grain equals a sela, that's the size of the bread that he's supposed to have. In the end of the day, to simplify matters more, it actually ends up being a rova hakav, a quarter of a kav. So that's the amount. That's the amount that we're supposed to give the ani who's passing through a loaf of bread that is the size of a measure of a quarter of a kav of grain. Mishnah continues. Lun, if let's say he's staying overnight. It's not just getting a meal. Then nostim lo parnasas lina. So then we're supposed to give him literally parnasas lina, parnasa that's going to allow him to stay. So when it comes to the food, the previous halacha, I'm supposed to give him this loaf of bread, which actually is mazon shtei sudos, is actually 2 sudos worth. He's coming for a day, got to give him 2 sudos per day. If he stays overnight, then we have to give him when he needs to sleep, which is a bed and cushions, beddings, pillows, etc. Shavas, let's say the poor person is staying over for Shabbos. So then, nostim lo mazon shalos sudos. On a typical day of the week, people only eat 2 sudos. But on Shabbos, we know there's an extra meal. It's shalos sudos, and that's the amount we're supposed to give. In fact, there's a question that's raised. It sounds like he doesn't have to have a special meal on Motzei Shabbos. Isn't there a halacha of a malava malka? So the answer that's typically given is that it's if you extend your Shabbos meal into Motzei Shabbos, some poskim hold that has the status of malava malka as well. So actually, he can use his 3rd suda, eat it toward very late in the day, continue it into Motzei Shabbos, and that counts as his Motzei Shabbos meal of malava malka as well. Mishnah continues, how poor do you have to be to take from the kupa or the tamchui, from the pushka or the plate of food? So it says the Mishnah, Misha Yeshlo Mazon Shtei Sudos, a person who has enough food, they take each day at a time. So today, on this day, I know I have enough food for 2 sudos for the day, for breakfast and dinner, and I'm set. So lo yitom on a tamchui. He's not allowed to take from the tamchui. He's not poor enough to take from the soup kitchen, from the money, from the food plate. Mazon arba esra, but of course, if he doesn't have enough for mazon 2 sudos of a day, so then he can take from the tamchoi. Mazon arba esra sudos, a person who has food, he already knows they can anticipate next week, I have enough food, I don't know, about 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, but next week I know I have enough food for the whole week, meaning 2 meals a day. Arba esra sudos, 14 sudos for the week. Then lo yitomanat kupa. Then he can't even take from the kupa because the kupa is what was collected and distributed every week. If this person knows he has enough food for the week, he can't collect money from that pushka from the kupa. And the Mishnah concludes with an interesting halacha. Vahakupa nigbeis bishnayim. The kupa literally is collected with 2. Umischalekes blushlosha and is distributed with 3. What does this mean? So when the gabbai tzedakah comes to collect the money in the pushka, so the halacha is you need 2 people. Why? Because the rule is whenever someone's in a position of what we call srara, in a position of authority, in this case we assume that gabbai has a certain high position collecting money and distributing it, so you need at least 2 people who are going to do that together. And then, why do you distribute it with 3? So you have to distribute 3 because distributing tzedakah actually has the status of what we call dine mamonos. It's almost like you're sitting in a court, and in a court, in order to decide who gets, who wins in a civil case, who's going to, in a financial matter, money matters, so you need a court of 3 people. So essentially, that's what's happening. When you have money that's being distributed to various aniyim, you need to know who needs what, who deserves this, and there's a little bit of chachma, of wisdom, of judgment that goes into it. If that's the case, the distribution of the tzedakah of the kupa should be with 3 people for that particular purpose. What about the tamchui? The tamchui actually is not mentioned in the Mishnah, but the Gemara says Mavabasu is actually collected both, not only is it distributed with 3 people, it's collected with 3 people. Why? Because since when it comes to the tamchui, it's food, you don't hold it in a pushka for a long period of time. You actually collected the food right away and you distribute it right away. So since you're going to be distributing right away and this distribution needs to have a base that needs 3 people, so therefore you don't want to go through the tirch of looking for a 3rd person, you collect the food as well for the tamchui with 3 people as well.